Appreciate your attendance here tonight. Appreciate you coming out. Hopefully all of you now have this wonderful book in front of you and open to Psalm 37. That's where we will enter into our lesson tonight. We've been going through Psalms over the last many weeks, and we've been talking about the God of man's blessedness. And so, as my lot tonight is a question, is the God of man's blessedness concerned for man's physical needs? Great question. Important question. Something that rings with all of us as we are a physical being. So that'll be an important question, and the important question at least tonight. And so my endeavor with you this evening is to, with you, answer that question and take you through God's Word to help us understand that. And that's what we will do and follow this night. So, you know, it really does need to start out with, so what are the physical needs that we have? In your mind, just start going through those, listing them off, starting with the basic and then maybe getting a little bit more complicated after that. But there are some very basic things that we need from a physical perspective to keep us going. Okay, just how we're made. And some very important things that we need. So let's take a look at some of those. Obviously, right? Food and I, we go back a long way. I have an outstanding relationship with food. I love it. I'm not going to cut off that relationship. It's important for our bodies to receive that nutrition in order for them to build, grow, sleep, rest, do the things that we need to do. Our bodies were created and designed to take in food for nourishment for that very purpose. And so clearly, from a physical perspective, we need food. Subsequently, along with that food, we need water. Now, we can go without food for a couple of weeks. We look very different after that couple of weeks, but we can sustain for the most part. Water is a bit different. Water is extremely important to our bodies from a physiological perspective and from a cellular perspective. 3 to 4 days without water and we are in big trouble. You've been without water before for a time. You know how it feels. So water, another physical aspect of our life. Clothing, obviously, it is a physical need to cover us from being naked. There's a myriad of different clothing styles out there. I guess it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but it is a physical aspect of our being that we need to clothe ourselves. And then obviously, we need to have a little bit of shelter, okay? I'm not a real big fan of being out and exposed to extreme weathers. Ted Hoggart and I, we will on occasion go extreme snow camping up to Crater Lake in the middle of winter, and we'll pitch a tent, and we'll camp. The last time that we went, it was horrid in terms of the weather, and we kind of imagined, well, what would it be like if we just had a pair of sandals and some shorts and maybe a t-shirt and a tarp? And we would probably be dead of exposure, most likely. So everybody agree that these are the basic essentials as far as our physical needs, right? All agree with that? Okay, well what about, oh yeah, and health. Sorry about that. Health, another very important one. Obviously, that is a really important one for all of us. And with everything else preceding that, that leads up to usually, hopefully, good or sustained health. All of us are in various degrees of health right now. But how about these? I know you're smiling and you're going, but it's true. I mean, if you think about that, are these not physical needs that we have? You know, I put the big picture of the eyeball up there. It happens to be blue, but a lot of people say that they want to have just like the bluest eyes. It'd be great. Would love to have that. I'd like to have that. For me, this represents just the fact that there's no glasses on the eyeball, and that person can probably see great. Like 2020, maybe 2015. I don't even know what that looks like. How about the hair? How many of you have gone through your life thinking, oh, I wish my hair was better. I wish my hair looked much better. Did everything. Tomato juice, cucumbers, all of that stuff, right? And then how about your skin? How many of us have said, I want the creamy skin, I want nice skin, those kind of things. How about this guy? Tell me that you never thought it would be kind of cool to, walk around in a really tight t-shirt, look like that guy. Right? Some of us, some of you, right? And then how about this? It could be really fancy chocolate, or it just could be gold. All right, it's actually gold. Well, gold isn't really a physical thing. Yes, but it buys me things that make me feel good. So in a sense, it is kind of a physical thing, right? So there are certainly those physical things. And last but not least, brothers and sisters, does anybody know what this is? This is, thank you, Ron, this is a 1969 Boss 429 Mustang, capable of delivering almost 500 horsepower. This is the car. This is my car. This is what I desire almost as much as food. I want this car. And how does that provide? It provides my physical need for speed. Pure and simple. But these are things, these are physical things that we need. And remember, is the God of man's blessedness, is he willing to provide for our physical needs? Well, I hope so, especially with that guy right there. I hope so. But is that what this is about? We want to begin to explore that very concept tonight. And so we do begin at Psalms 37. If you already haven't turned there, please do so. I'm not going to read the entirety of Psalm 37. However, I'm going to focus on the first 8 verses of David's psalm. And David says to us, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." So let me ask you, and hopefully, now, I will give you a prelude right now. I'm going to do a lot of reading during my lesson. Sometimes it gets really monotonous, but in this particular case, it's kind of funny. It won't be monotonous. It will be very important for you and I both to listen to the content of the passages that I will be bringing to you, because they deal directly with the answer to the question. That question that we saw in the beginning slide at the beginning of my lesson. Words that stood out to you. All right, this is kind of a small audience participation thing. Bruce, what's one word that stood out to you?
Wait.
Wait, okay. What's one word that stood out to you, Pat? Okay. Ron, one word. I trust you that you are being honest with me. That's a word. That's good. Okay, how about this? Do not fret. Trust in God. Feed on his faithfulness. Commit. Trust also in him. Rest in him. So what does this group of passages mean? In summary, if you will, and if I may, security to those who trust in God, insecurity to those who do not trust in God. It is a problem-solution group of passages. If you do this, then this. So it's a problem-solution. Problem, or better word, provisions. And lastly, it is a portrait of David's life experience, which we have been covering. clearly, all of us who have studied Psalms, studied the Old Testament, where David was involved, clearly the man has gone through most anything that we can possibly imagine going through and then some. And so for this particular psalm, probably written later in David's life, he has had much life experience back here. So he really does know what he's talking about. And so we appreciate that about David, and we'll continue to move on as a result of our lesson tonight. So what you see before you is a desert, obviously, right? When you look at that desert, when I look at this scene, I kind of get a little bit thirsty. Because I know that it's an extremely inhospitable land. It's full of sand. And, you know, it's devoid of life as far as we know. It seems like there wouldn't be any life that lives there, but we know that there are some life forms that live in that extreme desert. None of us would want to be in it for a long period of time. We hate walking in it, although it does make your feet really smooth. That's a bonus. But it's just a most inhospitable place. But in terms of our lesson and in terms of an example tonight, I'm going to use the desert and aspects of it to prove and to answer the question with regard to God's blessedness to man's physical need. And I want to start with a little bit of a commercial. You might kind of remember this one. It's one of those classic, you know, soda commercials that pit one against the other. I love this because they're pretty clever, and this is one of those. And it's a scene not unlike this, where there's a man who's literally crawling on his hands and knees through this desert, and his clothes are tattered, and his hair is disheveled, and he's sunburnt, and he's just dripping with sweat, and you can just feel and empathize with him that the thirst is just running out of every pore in his body. And he stops at one point, and he just is almost giving up, and he kind of bows down, and then he sits up on his knees, and he just kind of almost gives up, and then he looks, and he sees this glint off in the distance, and then you see the mirage effect, and then you see this truck come driving towards him, and this truck is the familiar red and white swirled truck. It's a Coke truck. And the Coke truck drives up beside the man in the desert, and out from the window, this hand with this dripping cold bottle of Coke comes down to the man, and the man, you know, still looking down, reaches up, and he has a glimmer of hope, and he looks up. And he looks at the man, and he says, "No Pepsi?" "No, thanks." Gives it back and crawls off into the desert. Great commercial. Soda pop maker against soda pop maker. Love those. But it kind of is a very great spiritual truth regarding our relationship with God, if you will. And we'll explore that. We're going to work with that. Because we have to understand, we have to know, we have to realize that God wants to provide for us. He desperately wants to provide for us. And do we really appreciate that? Do we take it for granted that God not only wants to provide for us, but is capable and can and does provide for us? Do we really appreciate that? Or are we more like that guy in the desert where we just can't appreciate that provision because it's not what we want? I want a Pepsi. Yep, I'm going to crawl until I get it. I want a Pepsi. But sometimes we all do this. Sometimes we all forget about the fact that God wants to provide for us. In Philippians, turn to Philippians verse 19. "And my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A starting point for us to begin to hear and see the fact that indeed God does want to provide for us. And so I'm going to take you back to the great Exodus. The Exodus of the Israelites coming out of Egypt into where? The desert. And so they are going to go into that desert as part of God's deliverance to them. Imagine that. How long they were in captivity. And then finally, bam, we are free. You would think that they would be eternally grateful, and I'm sure that they were. But let's explore some things with regard to that as we move along. Because even the Israelites had to learn this truth. And that truth is, again, back to Philippians, that God provides to all and will always be faithful to that. They too had to learn to do that. And we then can learn from them. And from that Exodus out of Egypt, we will learn from them. But we do that a lot. We do that an awful lot. It seems like we sometimes forget about God's provision. And then we complain. We just simply complain. Why would we do that? I mean, if you think about it, you've read enough in God's Word to know that it is true, but yet we still do. But what happens when we do? What does that create? Do we make God to be a liar? We're going to explore that aspect as well. Do we make God out to be powerless? We're also going to explore that in terms of His desire and His ability to provide for us. So, here is where the reading begins. And it's not terribly long, but it's long enough so that we can understand what is going on with the Israelites as they are from slavery through the Red Sea and then out into the different areas within the desert. And the things that are befalling them while they are on this great journey. And so how I have this set up is I'm going to provide a situation. I'm going to identify a provider. We're going to identify what the complaint is and then what the provision is. Okay, that's how we will set this up. And so, if you will, go to Exodus if you're still there. Chapter 12. I'm going to be starting in verse 31. This is at the point where they are in Egypt and they are moving out. Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 through 42. Then he being Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, but you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, "We shall all be dead." And so the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their cloths on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptian articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered Egypt, the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait. Nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. They were free. Well, picture this for a second. They were here in Egypt for hundreds of years. And did you hear how many there were? That's just the men. And in all of the livestock, I can't even imagine. And they left in haste. So this is what is going out into that desert. I don't think we can even comprehend the magnitude for what is happening there. But let's look at the situation. Slavery, yes. They were there. Who's the provider? God. The complaint? Free us. Set us free. And the provision? God freed them. Okay? Next, Exodus 14, verses 9 through 15. The provider is God. The complaint? Should have stayed in Egypt. I mean, this is really interesting as you really thoroughly read this. We should have stayed in Egypt. This is hard. And the provision? The Red Sea was parted via God. So let's read. Exodus chapter 14, verses 9 through 15. And so the Egyptians pursued them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Phi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, I just wonder what he sounded like when he said this to the people. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? What did the Lord sound like when he said that? What was the inflection? What did he sound like when he said that? Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So we begin the process of complaining. After everything thus far, we begin the process of complaining. Yet God still provides. And He is providing for them along their journey. All right. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 26, the situation, 3 days without water. Remember, after about 3 to 4 days, we're starting to get into a world of hurt. The provider, God, again. The complaint, why are we to drink? Probably a legitimate complaint, but there were some other things going along with that, like a lack of trust. And the provision, the Lord directed Moses to provide. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 26. And so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Morah, they could not drink the waters of Morah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Morah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he, being God, tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Yet the provisions continue to come. God's provision. Because he wants to provide for his people. The situation. Food was gone. Maybe a couple of weeks without food before really bad things start to happen. The provider, once again, is God. The complaint, well, we had plenty to eat in Egypt. And the provision, God set quail. And so here we are in Exodus chapter 15. We'll read verses 27 through chapter 16, 1 through 14. So bear with me. Follow along. Listen intently. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and so they camped there by the waters. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day on the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat, and we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Wow, there is no drama going on there. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel at the evening, you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Also, Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. And then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up at the evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp, and when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost, on the ground. Yet he still provided. And yet they continued to complain. But now God is starting to test his children. And he expressed that in this last passage. Last one here. The situation. Again, no water. The provider is God. The complaint, why did you bring us again out of Egypt? And God provided the water. Again. Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord, and they camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. And therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And so Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Man, it started out with this, and then it went to food, and now it's with water. And so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And so the complaint has become deeper with the children of Israel. Like sometimes, the complaint can come deeper for us. Soon we will explore some possible reasons why it is that we come to complain about the provisions that God provides for us from our physical needs, as well as others. But how do you think it makes God feel when you complain? Do we think about that aspect of it? You know, we complain, and then stuff happens, and then we go on, and we're not struck by lightning, but how do you think it makes Him feel after all of that? Well, let me illustrate it this way, just a short story. How many of you recognize this game? Do you remember this game? This is skill pool, people. This is an awesome game. And I remember I was probably about 8 years old, and it was for Christmas one year. And I remember in the worst way, I wanted that game. I wanted it. I would go over to the hardware store where they had a lot of games and stuff, and I remember there was like one, and only one. And I so desperately wanted it. Well, Christmas came around, and so it was like the night before Christmas, and there was our tree, and then we had all of our presents, and my sister had a pile over here, and I had like two. I had this big box, and then this little small thing, right? And I just wondered, what was in the big box? It kind of looked dimensionally about the same size. The skill pool box. So, Mom, I'm sure that you know that I did this, but I'm confessing now. So, when everybody was asleep, and by the way, I did have my doctor package surgery already. So I got up, and I did. I went into the kitchen, and I got a really sharp knife. And I went out into the front room. And the light of the Christmas tree was all I had, and I performed surgery on that package. And there was tape, and it was like the really good tape, and I cut ever so diligently and carefully for like 40 minutes, it felt like. And I lifted the corner up, and I lifted that corner back, and I lifted that corner back, lifted that one down, and I peeled it up, and I saw the word skill. And I could barely contain myself. I was so excited. And so I put everything back together. And, you know, nobody knew what I had done, and it was great. And I hardly could sleep. And so then it was morning. We got up. We all gathered around. Yay! And so we started opening presents. And so my sister opened one of hers, and I opened my little thing, and I don't even remember what that was. And then my sister had a bunch more, and I just, you know, you go ahead. Being the nice brother and good son. No, you go ahead. You just keep going. Yeah. And so she's finished, and I came back to my prize, my present. And I knew what it was. And I could put on a good show, and really, because I was still excited. And so I ripped it, I started ripping it, and I ripped off the top, and it just said skill pool. I wanted the deluxe skill pool. And all that said was, skill pool. And I'm thinking, well, this isn't going to work. Are you kidding me? This is just a skill pool. What? This is horrible. And I was devastated. I was. And then after a while, I forgot about it. And we had a blast with it, and everything was all fun. But I had no clue. Probably the fact that my parents, because there was only one at the hardware store, somebody probably got that one. I don't even know where that one came from, but maybe somebody had to drive to Rapid City, which was a billion miles as far as I was concerned, and get it. But I hated it. And you know, what did my parents think? What did my mom think? Oh, I'm so sorry. Or was it, you know what? We'll just take that back. You know, fine, if you don't want it. I don't know, but I wasn't thinking about that. But I complained because it's not what I wanted. It is absolutely not what I wanted. And so we do complain, but how does it make God feel? If you're a parent now, you know exactly how that makes you feel. I get it now, and I apologize, Mom, big time. I get that. But does God feel the same way? You know, when that happens to me, it's like, okay, we're done. I'm cutting you off. There's no more coming from this well, girls. But does God do that? And how does it make him feel? When we ignore God's desire to want to provide for us, we assume some really wrong motives on his part. On the one who can only provide us with what we need unequivocally. We just simply ignore that. And we absolutely, from our standpoint, we tarnish his character, thinking that he does not desire to help us. And let it never be said among God's children that we don't believe God desires to want to provide for us. And we discredit God's ability to meet our needs. We do. We just simply discredit it. And we simply say that, well, obviously, you know, God could do this, and he didn't, so he must not have the power to do so. But do we forget? Do we forget that in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, that God created the heavens and the earth? Can you do that? Can I do that? Can I create a heaven and just an earth? No. So if God can do that, and in Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him and from him. So why would we not think that he can't do that? Why do we put ourselves in that position to do that? We'll explore that. And when we demand God to do stuff for us, that certainly does bring his discipline. We've seen that in some of the passages within Exodus that I read for you. We do see that. We saw that he tested the Israelites. Okay, you want food? I'm going to give you food. I'm going to give you so much food that you might not even know what to do with it. But you have to do it this way. And if you do it this way, you'll have enough to eat. If you do it any different, maybe it will spoil. Maybe you won't have enough and you'll starve. But I want to see just how well you can follow what I tell you to do. That's discipline. Not discipline that I'm going to crack you in the face, but that's discipline in terms of, okay, I see that mountain of gold over there, but I'm told only to get one bar. Nobody's looking. Maybe I'll just get two. You discipline yourself. God helps us to discipline ourselves, sometimes by our physical needs. All right, so we understand, or we're beginning to understand, that really this is more than just physical needs. It's not just a land of hey, I want that, give me that, you know, I definitely like food, I want more of it. There's something that's different about this, and it's physical needs versus our spiritual needs. And that balance, plus discipline of oneself, plus learning, equals that trust. And who better to define that and to describe that for us than God's Son? Than Jesus. In terms of that balance between the physical provision and the spiritual provision. Let's read what Jesus has to say in his experience as he was tempted. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he, being Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So not just the physical, yes, important, but it's more than that. It's more than that physical provision from God. And waiting upon and accepting God's provision from a physical perspective, according to God's time, according to God's glory, waiting upon that, even if it's not what I think that I want, it disciplines us. And it helps us to become more of a child of His, more spiritual in that sense. Our spiritual nature then begins to thrive in terms of God's teaching to us. And also, again, who better to teach us that lesson? Again, Jesus. And if this does not absolutely punctuate it for you, I have another one after this. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Please turn with me. Go through this with me. Read it along with me. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will I eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. So apply that to the Israelites. Wouldn't that have been a great, great application for them? As many of them as there were, with everything that they had to go through, clearly they needed help. Clearly they asked for that help. Unfortunately, a lot of it came in the form of a complaint and a demand, and the trust just didn't seem to be there in a lot of cases. so a bottle of detergent and a dog in a suds bath. I have no idea where Mark is going with this. But what I want to do is illustrate a point. And so I'm going to tell a story, just a short story. Bear with me. Listen carefully. A little boy went into a grocery store and asked the clerk for a box of Dove detergent. And the clerk said, "What do you need the detergent for?" And the little boy replied, "I want to wash my dog." The clerk said, "Well, son, that Dove detergent is pretty strong for washing a little dog." And the little boy said, "But that's what I want." The clerk said, "Well, okay, if you're sure. But you need to be very careful when you wash your dog in it. That Dove detergent is very strong, and it might kill him." So about a week later, the little boy came back into the store, and the clerk recognized him and asked, "Son, how's your dog?" And the little boy said, "He's dead." And the clerk replied, "Oh, I am so sorry, but you remember I told you that that Dove detergent was awfully strong and that it might kill him." The little boy shook his head and said, No, it wasn't the detergent that killed him. I'm pretty sure it was the spin cycle that got him." You know, all of us, from time to time, we go through that spin cycle. We go through it for some specific reasons sometime, but we definitely go through that spin cycle like the Israelites did. Sometimes it's just because we don't listen to God. We simply don't listen because we don't want to, or we don't want to. And sometimes it's because we just simply don't trust Him. I mean, truly trust Him. Israelites, you're free. Go. I freed you. Trust me. I will take care of you. I did this. Oh, and by the way, I made everything. Trust me. Didn't happen that way. Trust factor was gone. Didn't listen sometimes. Sometimes, we can all appreciate this. It's going to be my way. Nope. Going to be my way. Not that way, but my way. And I'm going to be stubborn about it. I'm just going to say that up front. But I'm going to be completely unreasonable because I want it this way. Deluxe skill pool, Mom. Come on. I want it my way. But sometimes it might be because we are just simply babes in Christ. We're too young, boots on the ground, if you will, to have built up that trust level and to understand what it is to truly, truly trust in God and have that peace regardless of what comes my way. Many of you notice that oftentimes, except for now, this light is tremendous, that I would come up and I would struggle with reading. And I have the giant print, right? And I have bifocals. Sometimes I'd take off my glasses, and if I stood just right, it would work out okay. And sometimes I'd make stuff up and put it in there because I just couldn't see it. But that's me. That's what I have. And rather than fight against that, rather than be upset, why can't I understand what 2020 feels like? But just accept, this is what God has given me. It is. And there's a reason. It's His provision for me from a physical perspective. And yep, I complained. But in the grand scheme of things, what does it do for me? Well, I'll tell you this. It makes me memorize a lot of stuff. And a bunch of other things. God's provision for me. Sometimes it's because we don't know our Maker. We don't know who He is. We don't know what He's about. How can you trust somebody if you don't know him? He still made you. He still wants to provide for you. And he wants you to know him. But sometimes it's because we just simply don't know him. Sometimes we complain because we have been dealt the harshest blow, something that has utterly devastated us. And it is hard for us to wrestle with the emotion. It's hard for us to understand why it happened. And we sink to the lowest of low. And so we begin to falter like the Israelites. And we begin to question. And we begin to say, why didn't you do this for me instead? Why did you give me this? When I really wanted this. Why did you do that? And we begin to question His desire. We begin to question His motives. We begin to question His capability. We do. We are like the Israelites in that sense. But yet. And so if you still are in doubt, if you still have any shred of doubt, turn with me to Psalms 139. I'm going to be reading the first 18 verses of this particular psalm. A psalm of David. O Lord, You have searched me and know me, and know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I descend into heaven, if I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from You. But the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to You. For You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well, my frame was not hidden from You. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in Your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are Your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sands. And when I awake, I am still with You. One last passage. That we trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, feed on His faithfulness, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. The Lord who provides. Amen. The Lord who provides. I believe in the answer to the question tonight. God does provide for our physical needs. But He does that so that He can provide also for our spiritual needs. And He allows us to grow and to be sustained by our physical needs that He provides to us as He sees fit so that we can one day be with Him in a spiritual sense. All of this is planned. All of this is here. All of this was His design. All we have to do, all the Israelites have to do is follow, is trust, is commit, to rest, to not fret. And God promises that He will provide for us all of our needs to our heart's desire.